thought about trying every restaurant in New York City. I could keep a journal about it. It would be a fun hobby. This was a late night thought, and late night Googling followed. I searched, how long will it take to go to every restaurant in New York City? And of course, someone had already done the calculations. If one eats 3 meals a day, each at a new restaurant, it would take 22.7 years to accomplish eating at every restaurant in New York City, assuming that each restaurant was to stay open and no new ones opened anytime in those 22.7 years or beyond. This is not a sermon about food. Nor is it a sermon about the calculus of trying out each restaurant. But it is a sermon about time, choice, and living a life of meaning. We are not able to make infinite choices. We can't taste everything there is to taste. We can't do everything we aspire to. We will never complete every task. We barely reach one goal before another goal has replaced it. With infinite time, we could try everything we want. Choosing one thing would no longer mean cutting off another. We'd simply go back and choose another thing the next time, over and over, forever. In fact, the whole concept of choice, in some sense, would be meaningless. What would be the point? The psalmist implores us, Limnot yameinu kein hoda, v'navi levav chokhma. Teach us to count our days rightly, that we may acquire a heart of wisdom. The Hebrew word translated as rightly or wisely is hoda, from the root describing intimate knowledge. So in a sense, the verse could be translated as, teach us to count our days knowingly, that we may acquire a heart of wisdom. We need to know our days, to accept that we will only have so many of them, to accept that our lives are bound by limitations. We do not control how much time we have. We do not determine the circumstances into which we are born. We cannot decide which abilities and capacities each one of us is given. Ability, circumstance, and time shape the outlines of our lives. It is the act of striving within these limitations, despite these limitations, that gives our lives meaning. The Olympics inspire us because they are an example of how one can overcome obstacles of ability. Olympians set new records, achieving what was previously thought of as unachievable. The American Dream inspires us because it is built upon the idea that anyone can overcome obstacles of circumstance. But how might we overcome the obstacle of limited time? We want to make each day count. We strive to use our time well, to be productive, to deepen our connections with others, to pursue joy, to experience all that the world has to offer. Yet sometimes we find ourselves in a cycle in which time is open-ended and amorphous. When we really can't number our days, we drift from one day to the next, tuned out. The Israelites journeyed to the Promised Land while they were still a people in formation. They spent 40 years, a full generation or two, in the desert. In a sense, these 40 years seemed formless. The number meaningless. Were they 40, 80, 100? When days blend one into the other, how can we define them? That was the Israelites' experience as they walked endlessly in the sand toward an unknown destination that was far away, far into an unknown future. Remember what it was like walking around blindly in the early months of 2020 when COVID first arrived and we didn't understand what was happening? We were stuck in a holding pattern, one day bleeding into the next, time becoming amorphous. There are other times in our lives when we experience a similar sense of being out of sync. When a loved one is in the hospital, or we ourselves are ill, or if we suffer with depression, or if we are grieving a personal loss, or if something threatens our sense of self, we feel unmoored. We wander around with no guarantee of resolution. Our limitations of capacity and circumstance close in our ability to fully engage in life as we'd like to. We may wish that we have a different life path than the one that we are on. A man was on a quest to learn the meaning of life. He found a cottage filled with hundreds of shelves. On every shelf were dozens of oil-burning candles. Some were in precious gold holders, others in modest holders made of clay or tin. Some were filled to the brim with oil, their flames burning brightly, while others had very little oil left. A caretaker appeared, and the man asked, "Tell me, what are all these candles?" The caretaker said, each of these candles is the candle of a person's soul. As long as the candle continues to burn, that person remains alive. But when the candle burns out, that person's soul takes leave of this world." The man asked, "Can you show me the candle of my soul?" "Follow me," said the caretaker. He showed the man a shelf and pointed to a simple candle in a clay holder and said, "This is the candle of your soul." The man looked at the flickering candle and felt the blood drain from his face with fright. The oil was almost burned out. Could he be at the end of his life without realizing it? But then he noticed the candle next to his own was in an almost identical clay holder, yet that one was full of oil. Its wick long and straight, its flame burned brightly. "And whose candle is that?" asked the man. The caretaker responded, "I can only reveal each person's candle to that individual." And then he turned and left. The man stood there quaking. He looked at his own candle and saw that there were only a few drops of oil left. And then he looked again to the candle next to his own, so full of oil. And a terrible thought entered his mind. He stepped back and searched for the caretaker in every corner of the cottage, but he didn't see him anywhere. Then he picked up the candle next to his own and tilted it to pour some of its oil into his own candle. At that instant, the caretaker appeared out of nowhere and gripped his arm, hurting him, and said, "Is this how you intend to use your fleeting time?" The man closed his eyes, then opened them, but the caretaker was gone, and the cottage and the candles had all disappeared. He found himself standing alone in the forest and heard the trees whispering his fate. Who among us can't relate to this story? Who among us hasn't wanted to switch places with someone at one time or another? But we cannot steal someone else's life. We cannot steal time. We only have the days we are given. None of them, not a one of them, guaranteed. We may be mired in unhappiness or unfair, unjust circumstances, but all we have is our own one life. How can we make the most of whatever time is given us? The act of doing teshuvah engages us in measuring our days. We take this time over Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, this fixed time of 10 days, to take an accounting of our souls. We do not have forever, but we have now, this moment to seek our truths. Each day is a capsule of time that we will fill with a portion of our lives. Each choice, large and small, is a measure of our being. Every moment is an opportunity to be in alignment with our deepest values. Yet getting off track is inevitable. Even after the soul searching and teshuva of these 10 days, somewhere down the line, the same things that pulled our attention from being present and awake to the moment will divert us yet again. We will drift once more from one day to the next, lost and unmoored. So how do we find our way back? This predicament is explored by our sages in the Talmud who ask, if someone is walking down the road or in the desert and has lost their sense of time and has no idea what day of the week it is, what are they to do? The sages say, just begin counting time again. Just start. However, how to start is a topic of debate. One sage tells us the traveler should count 6 days and then keep Shabbat. And another sage says the exact opposite. We should start with Shabbat and then count 6 days. The first approach is gradual. One re-enters gently, moving through one day and then the next and then the next until Shabbat. Even though we may feel uncertain, we can have a sense of hope as we make our way one small step at a time, looking forward to a better day ahead. The second approach is the opposite. We start counting by making Shabbat, gathering with our spiritual community, enjoying food, cultivating gratitude. What is at the heart of this dispute? The rabbis emphasize the importance of starting to count time again and waking up to the possibility that each day holds. To count time is essential to making our time count. We construct many ways of counting time. We visualize a watch or a calendar or a timeline. Yet time is actually a part of us. In a sense, we are time. We hold the past, the present, and the future within us. Just as fish are completely immersed in water, we are immersed in time. We hold time in our bodies, our memories, and our perceptions. We cannot use time in one way or another. It simply flows through us. This is what makes perceiving time so difficult. The psalmist implores us, teach us to number our days wisely so that we may acquire a heart of wisdom. What wisdom are we leaving for the next generation? We are part of a continuum that lasts well beyond our days. This is how we overcome the obstacle of time. We leave a mark on the future. What will our legacy be? At the end of his life, Moses stood on top of the mountain, gazing at the promised land he would never have the chance to enter. Many read this and feel a deep sense of sadness for Moses, that he didn't get to fulfill the mission of his life. And yet, focusing on the end misses the point. The journey is what gives our lives meaning. The small moments each day, how we embrace our loved ones, how we engage in deep conversation, how we enjoy works of art, how we dance with joy or cry tears for injustice, how we fight for a better world, all these moments comprise the path on which we walk. The shofar echoes from the ancient past, imploring us to wake up to our lives. May we not miss out on 1 second of sweetness, tasting the apple dipped in honey. May we rise to meet this moment. Shana Tova.